When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
D-Gen Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? It's week 8. We're here for the NFL DFS breakdown for the D-Gen Nation podcast. Your host here, Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter at RyanAlexander_W. I'm joined by one of the usual suspects here, Mr. Matty Dickinson himself. Matty DFS is where you can find him on Twitter. And Matty, it's Jersey night, baby. We broke him out. We broke them up for this.
Yeah, we had to, you know, we had to get back on the money train a couple weeks ago with my Keelan Cole. It took me to the promised land at 1% owned. So, you know, I had to honor him and get his jersey. So, rocking the Keelan Cole jersey tonight, and you've got the Jacob Hollister on. Won you some big bucks last year?
I know, last year, baby. We love Jacob Hollister week 10. It's crazy, man. So, yeah, you know, that's 2019, right? So I gotta figure out what my jersey is gonna be for 2020. Maybe
you gotta
maybe
get you 2020 jersey. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I want another offhand guy. I want another off the wall play like a Keelan Cole. Jacob Hollister. We need to get some shout outs from these guys for this show here, giving them some love.
You can't go buy a Derrick Henry jersey when he's 35-40% owned, right? Even though he goes for 40, you've got to get the 1% owned Keelan Cole jersey. So you've got to get, the off the wall guys.
You're already starting it off nice, Matty. I can't wait to talk about this slate, man. We got a fun one here for week 8. And before we get into the slate, I just want to thank everybody who's joining us tonight. If you're watching this on Thursday night on the YouTube channel, on the Periscope, on the Twitch, we really appreciate that. D-Gen Nation Pod. If you're watching, you can also see the Fantasy Authority channels there at the bottom. It's powered by the Fantasy Authority. We appreciate that. And D-Gen Nation Pod on Twitter is where you can find us. Hit us up in the DMs. We can get you in that Slack here. We've had some fun conversations the past couple of weeks in there, just on the slates and on the showdown slate tonight that's going on. That's kind of been wild there, Carolina and Atlanta. So we want you guys coming in there. Join the DGen Nation family. We'd love to have you guys. All right, let's get into this slate, Matty. And so we got week 8 on the books. Last week was wild, right? Like last week was the games were the crazy. It came to fruition. We had teams scoring over 40 points. We had the Seattle Arizona game getting moved. We had, I mean, people were talking about builds. We were talking about builds on Tuesday that came to fruition on Sunday, Matty. That's how crazy.
We tried to tell everybody late night hammer. We warned them, didn't we?
We did, man. And you know what's crazy about that is that game. It still felt under-owned to me than what it should be. And even for myself, Matty, because I had Lockett teams. I had Kyler teams. I had Kyler Hopkins. I had Kyler Kirk Lockett, Kyler Kirk DK. Like, I felt like I had the teams, but just kind of the pieces just really didn't align to what needed to happen. Like, I felt like I just got exposure to that game just to have them instead of taking what the slate was giving us from those early slates and being like, okay, let's build around those pieces and then plug in those great pieces from that late game. And of course, you know, Lockett hitting for 50 or whatever it was on DK. I mean, that's just going to really, you know, take you to the house. Carson getting hurt there, that hurt Metcalf. He had a couple opportunities, penalty called back a long play. Other plays in that just didn't go the way for him, but it does just go to, you know, speak to the tune of when you see something that's on paper that just feels like a right spot, and we're going to talk about it this week because it doesn't feel great though, Medi. It doesn't feel as good as last week did. Last week felt like everything was jumping off the page. There were very few spots that were good spots that people were talking about where you could say, okay, I could see this going wrong, or, oh, this really doesn't feel great. Like, I'm looking at the game this week, right? So we got Detroit and Indy. It's got a 50 over under, and I'm just like, I don't really know if that's getting there. I think it opened at 51 and it's already getting bet down. And it's like, sometimes those weeks happen. And I feel like a lot of the times too, Matty, the way to take advantage of on slates, especially like this week 8 one before we dive in, is going to be where can you position yourselves, especially for tournament players. And I know some of these listeners that we have, they play cash. Shout out to you guys playing cash this year in 2020. It's been a wild one. You got to put up 200 in cash lines to cash. So I really appreciate the grind you guys are putting in. But in tournaments here this week, there's going to be so many things that go overlooked here because it's not as straightforward as last week was. And people are going to try and push those straightforward spots that come to fruition on paper to make their boats this week. Is that how you feel?
Yeah. So like you said, I mean, there's really only a couple spots, both on the ground and on the ground and through the air, that where you just feel really comfortable about what you're plugging in. And I think this is going to be the most condensed chalk we have seen to date this season. I think you're going to get a lot of guys that are going to be high owned, and you're just going to have to try to force yourself to be different from the field, as uncomfortable as it is. But it's just one of those weeks, man, where you're going to have to try to do something different, even though you don't really want to, because everybody's going to attack the same spots. Because like you said, there's a bunch of low totals, only a couple games are 50 or higher. And the ones that are 50 or higher, it's like some of the worst defenses in the league. So it's just the obvious spots, right? So we're going to have to get a little bit creative, but I've got a good feeling as to how I think I'm going to attack the slate. So I'm curious to hear if you're on the same page with me or not.
Yeah, man. I mean, we usually do align somewhat, so to speak. But, you know, we had some conversations earlier today in the chat, you and Kev kind of getting a little heated over a game that I definitely want to talk about. So let's get into it. You know how we do it here at the DJ Nation podcast. We got to break it down position by position. And let's start at the quarterback position, Matty. And that's kind of where this week comes down to, right? I mean, we're going to have some decisions to make here at quarterback. You got Pat Mahomes at the top, that he's going against the Jets team at home in Arrowhead, where the total, I mean, I had to double take this. I thought this was a college game making its way onto the NFL slate. So the Chiefs are favored by 19.5 points here at home. And you really just don't see a way that they don't blouse these guys. I mean, the Jets are just really, what an atrocious football team they are for fantasy, for watching purposes. It's just all bad there. And they still got their main guys coming up on the injury report. Breshad Perriman, I'm not sure what's going on with him on the practice reports this week. I know he's up dealing with injury. Jameson Crowder dealing with injury. Lev Bell now, who's on KC, leaving the Jets. It's just a dumpster fire there. But at 8,100, he really needs to, you know, smash in order for that to pay off. And we're not seeing 2018 Patrick Mahomes this year. Not seeing 2019. I mean, this guy is, they're comfortable with having him go out there, throw 30 times, throw 25 times, and just like, okay, we're beating the team. Defense, you do the rest, and we don't need you. So that's an interesting spot, I feel like, that people will go to. I mean, we're talking about these top guys here. We got Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen, who all round up the top 7K play. And before I get into your plays, Matty, because I'm not sure kind of where you're headed there, for me, I'll just talk about personally. For me this week, as this is Thursday, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers at home going against Minnesota, a game that, you know, how many times have we seen this before, this divisional matchup? They play twice a year, and these games kind of do get a little dicey there. Aaron Rodgers versus the Mike Zimmer defense, what's going to come to fruition? Already seen it this year already. Russell Wilson against San Fran, again, another divisional matchup. But I'm looking at Russell Wilson. He's 7,800, and like, I don't know, Matty, maybe you've seen otherwise this far this week, but I feel like nobody is talking about this guy. I know it's an afternoon slate game. Seattle just lost to Arizona last week in that late night hammer. And I feel like because the pieces are so priced up and because of what people think of the San Francisco defense being, that it's just going overlooked. Like, if you don't play the right wide receiver, right? You're feeling like you're going to miss out. You're going to get that DK Metcalf game from Sunday night, and people, you know, might feel that Tyler Lockett's going to go over-owned. So I just think they're overlooking Russ. But how many times have we seen Russ just – I mean, look at what he's doing this year, Maddie, on DraftKings at this kind of similar price tag that he's had all year. I mean, 7K flat to start the season, but – you're looking at the points on DraftKings, 34, 34, 39, 24, 25, 35 against Arizona. And he just always finds a way to kind of put up points, whether that be going to Lockett, DK Metcalf, Chris Carson, David Moore, Swain, or whoever these other guys are. And so I could definitely see him, you know, paying off that. And I just like that he has a narrow, you know, distribution of targets, and you don't really need to pair him with somebody, so to speak, for him to smash. And seeing rushing upside this year that we really haven't seen before. I think he's, you know, averaging like somewhere around 30 yards a game rushing, which is, you know, that's just added value for a guy like Russell Wilson. And then when we go into the cheap realm, and talking about quarterback, you know, I've seen a lot's been made about the wind this week, and I want you to kind of touch on that. But at Derek Carr coming in at 5,500, now I know you and Kev kind of got into this conversation, but for me, I'm just looking at teams and what I can do. And Derek Carr at that price tag going against Cleveland, Waller's in a great spot. So you love that you compare him with him. You know, I think that there's leverage plays off of him, but this Cleveland defense is just has been nothing to shy away from here, as Joe Burrow just lit him up, the rookie there. And even if if the wind is a factor here, so to speak, I still think at 5,500, you know, hopefully we're seeing a couple targets go to Josh Jacobs, who's got a very solid red zone role on the year, top five red zone role at the position. Darren Waller, he should smash here. And some of those guys, if some of those deep shots do connect, if the wind isn't as prevalent as we think it'll be, I just think that, you know, if Cleveland's putting up points on the other end, he's going to have to come out and play here. And I know the floor is definitely relevant. You're looking at his game logs and, you know, you're seeing just around 20 there in games where they haven't had to throw. So it doesn't feel comfortable. But on this week, Maddie, I'm just trying to get as much skill position players high priced as I can. And Derek Carr gives me the route to do that with only stacking him with one guy, you know, whether that be Aguilar at the wide receiver or Waller at the tight end. How do you feel about this week, Maddie? What are your builds getting you to on quarterback this week?
Yeah. So, we talked about it pre-show, how the report of all the high winds and in multiple spots, it really made me just completely nuke my entire build for my three max this week. Because I really was high on Cleveland and Las Vegas, like you're mentioning. I had Derek Carr as a placeholder, but anytime I see 15-mile-an-hour winds, that's when I start to adjust down, like, you know, start to knock down the passing games a peg or two. 15 miles an hour is just the threshold to where you start caring about it, but really once it gets over to that 20 to 25-mile-an-hour range, that's when it starts to really impact, you know, the passing game. In a significant way. Like I sent you guys some charts in chat earlier today about some research that's been done, and guys just don't eclipse the 20 point fantasy point mark when winds get up over 20 miles an hour. It's just, it affects all throws down the field, whether it's 15 yards, 40 yards, doesn't matter. A lot of times these guys are covered so tightly in coverage anyways, that the quarterback has to make a perfect throw, and any alteration to that throw is all of a sudden an incomplete pass or an interception. So, I am going to place a lot of emphasis on the wind effects this week, and I'm going to keep a very close eye on that because, you know, like you said, I don't know, it might have been last week, but you said that a lot of guys get married to their builds early in the week, and they refuse to adjust as news comes out to us. So, if we get word that, you know, some of these wins aren't going to be as high as they, you know, were early in the week, people are already set on their pivots, and they're not going to change back to those ideal spots that we were wanting to target in the first place. So definitely keep an eye on that because winds can fluctuate. You know, maybe there's a front coming through that's, you know, move north or south or something. I mean, we're still 3 days out. So definitely keep an eye on that. But it will affect my process. And I think on a week like this, where we've got four games with a total of 50 or higher, we're not going to see a nuclear slate like we've seen the last few weeks, really all 7 weeks so far, where every game is approaching that 50 to 60 total. I think this is going to be more of a gross, grinded out week where you've really got to take your high floor, high ceiling combo players, like you're talking about, getting in those high price guys, like maybe a Derrick Henry or a Kamara, even though on a typical slate, we might not want to play them at a high price because we feel like other guys have same ceilings at lower prices. But I mean, this week is you're going to have to adjust your approach to roster construction this week just because of the overall makeup of the slate. And I think a great way to get exposure to high ceiling spots is to load up on the highest total teams, even though the game itself might not be pegged for a shootout. So like the Chiefs, you mentioned Mahomes, he's 8,100. Yeah. But I mean, you're getting access to a Chiefs offense that's going to score. They're going to score 30 plus points against the Jets at home. Like they're going to, and he's got four touchdown upside anytime he steps on the field. So like, yeah, it doesn't feel great to pay 8,100 for him, but I mean, he's one of the few guys that can go out there this week and throw 4 to 5 touchdowns. And if he does that, I've got exposure to him and nobody's paying up for him because people are going to play Russell Wilson over him because Seattle has no running backs and that game is one of the highest totals of the week and has all the pace factors and everything that people are looking for. So, you know, Mahomes and Lamar, they're the two guys that come to mind up top, right? Because you're essentially getting – as long as Clyde or Le'Veon don't burn me, you're essentially getting all the production from those two teams by paying up for those two quarterbacks. And so the same can be said for Russell Wilson too. But I think, you know, a lot of people are going to pay down at quarterback this week. That's going to be the popular route. You're going to see a lot of Derek Carr teams if, you know, if the wind dies down. You might still even see a lot of Derek Carr teams anyways because of his price. I think you're going to see a lot of Tannehill teams at 6,200 against Cincinnati. You're going to see a lot of Jimmy G teams, 5,500 right there with Carr, 5,400 against Seattle. Like the people are going to pay down so that they can play Kamara, they can play Derrick Henry. So I think, you know, it's going to be a different build paying up at quarterback. And we know that these guys can carry their team to 4 to 5 touchdowns. Whereas, you know, Derek Carr might lose 2 touchdowns to Josh Jacobs or something, you know, something random like that. So there's definitely
or just be Derek Carr
in a bad weather spot. So there's definitely spots where we can still be responsible and be smart and get exposure to high ceiling offenses as a whole. You're going to have to pay for it, but on a week where everybody's paying down, I think it makes sense to also consider paying up. So a lot of words to say. I like Patrick Mahomes this week against the Jets. I mean, they've been a pass funnel this year. I mean, I know you can run on them too, but they've definitely defended the run better than they have the pass. They have like no cornerbacks out there. I think we haven't seen a Tyreek goes nuclear week yet. I think it's coming at some point.
Right.
It has to, right? And he's not priced up. Like he's 6,700. And on a week like this where you've got – a guy who can go for 40 points at 6,700. It's a week that I want to take a shot on that. And hopefully I'm right. So I really do like Mahomes. 8,100 is a hefty price tag, but we'll talk about some running backs and a really cheap wide receiver who I like, who's in an absolutely incredible spot who nobody's going to play. There's ways you can make it work. And I think paying up for Mahomes and then Lamar, anytime Lamar gets, you know, a team that can push him on the other side, he's got that 100-yard rushing upside. He ran for 70 last year against Pittsburgh in his one matchup with them. So he's definitely got the ability to go nuclear here. And I'm pretty sure Mark Ingram did not practice here either. So you're starting to see maybe some of those Mark Ingram carries turn into pass attempts and Lamar's ceiling gets a little higher. So I think he's really interesting in a game with Pittsburgh that could quietly turn into a shootout because, I mean, Baltimore, they let the Eagles climb back in it 2 weeks ago. It was like a 60-point game, and Pittsburgh just played a 60-point game with Tennessee. It's like these defenses can be scored on even though they are among the top in the league, and both offenses are good enough to definitely put up points here. So I think that's a game that's going overlooked that, you know, is a mistake to be going overlooked.
No, I like that. And we'll definitely talk about that when it comes to wide receiver. Maddie, we had a question in the chat. And so if you're doing Chiefs, is there a run back option there for you? Or are you just saying, like, I know I'm getting 30 points from this game. They could go out and, you know, it could be 38 to zip or 38 to 3, 38 to 10. I don't really need an option there. What are you doing there?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've seen games where, you know, Mahomes only throws 25 to 30 times, but the touchdowns are deep touchdowns, and he's extremely efficient, and he puts up, you know, four or five passing touchdowns on only 30 attempts. So you definitely don't have to play them with a run back. But if you were to, you know, if the Jets were to somehow score some points and keep, you know, keep the Chiefs offense having to keep throwing the ball, I think you have to look at Denzel Mims, just especially if Crowder's out, because, you know, he saw a bunch of targets last week. Yeah. He's getting his feet under him. It's going to be a second game. He's cheap. So I don't think I can play Pirine, despite, you know, he's going to get all the red zone work and all that good stuff. But Frank Gore's still eating into him.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. That's what we think.
I jokingly told Derek, I was talking to him earlier this week, and me and him were talking about Mims a little bit. And I was like, man, do I really want to put money on an Adam Gase player? You know, it feels like a spot where you can just play the Chiefs without a run back because you'd be playing for the efficiency and their high team total.
Sure. And the likelihood of that is you're saying I'm playing the Chiefs run back. And, you know, if you're going in a tournament, and I know you play more single entry three max condensed tournaments, so the chances of this happening might not be as high. But if you're in a big field, the chances are people are going to have a run back, right? They're going to try and play Mims if Crowder's out, Crowder if he's in, Berrios if Crowder's out, Perryman if he's in. Like, and you can just leave all that ugliness aside and just say that, all right, I'm just going to take the points and maybe get a cheap player elsewhere. You talked about the Russell Wilson play and getting leverage off of that because of the running backs here. Do you feel, and we'll get into running back in a little bit, but Chris Carson, I know he's not practicing. He didn't practice yesterday, didn't practice today, but Pete Carroll said that he could practice later in the week. That was earlier this week. If he shows up on Friday, what are your thoughts just in general of that situation?
So the Seahawks are kind of like the Chiefs where they're all priced up, but the Seahawks are actually even higher priced than the Chiefs are right now. Cause you've got, like you were mentioning, Metcalf is 7,500, Lockett's 7,100, right. Russ is 8K. So, you know, you have to pay a premium for these guys. And that just feels like a spot to me where only one of them usually goes nuclear between DK and Lockett. Like it feels like to me, they rarely go off in the same game to where it's like, oh man, I have to have that score to win. So if, you know, if Russ is having a great game, he can get it done with his legs too. But if he's having a great game, usually it's only one of the two that are having a great game. And so to me, I feel like I just want to play Jimmy and run it back with one of DK or Lockett. And if Russ plays well, they cost a lot anyways. And so if the Seahawks are playing really well, that means Jimmy's going to have to keep up at 5,400. And right. He's got weapons to do it. And the Seattle defense has been so bad that I don't see myself rostering the Seattle passing attack, like the full blown passing attack. It's attacking that game for me is going to be the San Francisco passing attack. And then getting one of those two, Lockett or DK.
I feel you there. And, it, you know, it just like we said, it's just about talking about the slate and where you can get leverage from and things of that nature. I know those Seattle and San Fran battles do get heated. And just, like I said, just coming off a loss. I mean, you know me, I'm narrative all the way through and through. And anytime I can find a narrative that would make these guys go out there and want to play for something, I love touting it on. Before we get into running backs, Maddie, let's talk about just a couple of these guys. I am surprised about the Ryan Tannehill thing for you. I felt like you've been on Tannehill a lot this year, whether it be on Showdown or on the main slate or anything, when he was kind of priced down. I see he does come in at that 6,800 price tag, but that game is just screaming points there. We know that Henry is going to be owned this week. I mean, it's inevitable conclusion. Like, you're going to see 30 plus ownership percentages on him in the tournaments. And I mean, 60+ in cash games, if not more. What's your feeling on Tannehill this week? And you seem to be a little bit lower on him than I expected.
No, I do like Tannehill. I just think he's going to be popular. I think Tennessee's another one of those offenses where you can just play their entire offense and get a 35-point team, you know, because, right. I mean, even if Derrick Henry runs for two touchdowns, I think Tannehill can still go out and throw for 250 and three or throw for four touchdowns. Like, Tennessee's not going to have any problem moving the ball in Cincinnati. So you could be different with a Tannehill, Henry, and Jonnu stack, like something like that, because Tannehill does have rushing upside as well. So there's just so many ways you can attack Cincinnati. AJ Brown is probably going to be the forgotten man for me this week just because his price tag is so high. Sure. And, you know, he continues to do it, and that's just who he is, but he continues to take these long touchdowns to the house from like 70 or 80 yards away. He did it all last year too. So you're relying on him to be extremely efficient, which it's the type of player he is. So when you're rostering him, you understand that. But yeah, I think Tennessee, the Ravens, Kansas City, trying to think, and San Francisco, Seattle. I think those are really the five offenses that I'm really going to focus on this week, outside of one-offs from a couple other offenses that we'll talk about when we get to those positions.
I like that. It feels good. And even with the Tannehill thing, just to go back, I mean, week six was that week that Henry went nuclear and Ryan Tannehill still put up 33 points
on
DraftKings with the four touchdowns. It's just crazy. And I think I can't remember where I saw it, but there has been talk about correlating Tannehill with Henry, like when he goes nuclear, like Tannehill is in that range as well too, which is just wild to even think about. Like, it seems so negative when you're pairing a quarterback with a running back that does not catch passes on DraftKings. Feels ugly, but it's a way to get kind of leverage there, especially to just say, you know, let's just get all the points and rock out. One last thing I wanted to touch on at quarterback here. We've talked a couple times in the chat about Cam Newton this year, I felt like, and this dude just getting benched for Stidham. I mean, what is that doing for your confidence? What is that doing for everything there? But they have a game against Buffalo here. It is a divisional game, and like I said, you know, thinking about narratives and just the way that it goes. I mean, they brought Cam Newton in for a reason. The Patriots season is pretty much like on the line, you know, in these divisional games. So they're in must-win situations, and they are on the road against Buffalo, but Buffalo really hasn't been all that, you know, stout either on the other side. So, you know, if you think the way to attack Buffalo is on the ground. And so you think about like, okay, are they going to throw Stidham in there to go against this Buffalo team on the road that could take advantage of him if he's passing a lot? Or do they throw Cam in there and try to get him some of these design runs that he was running from week six and on, you know, started out the year 15, 11, 9, 10 carries against Denver when he comes back from COVID, but he was getting yards on the ground. I mean, it's Cam Newton. So at 5,700, you know, you're talking about how ugly Derek Carr could be at the ownership that he has. And then you're looking at 5,700 for Cam Newton, and the team will need him. I mean, Julian Edelman, he's out. You know, he's throwing to the likes of Demir Byrd and Jacoby Myers and Ryan Izzo. And Devin Asiasi. It's crazy. You know, James White still dealing with the personal issues that he has. He's kind of been out of it, and they've been spelling him with Damian Harris. So in Rex Burkhead. So it's like, you know, behind Cam in tournaments on a weekend, you don't have to pair him with anybody because of the red zone role that he has as a quarterback. So I think I've been trying to find ways, if it makes sense, to get some teams in MME situations that have Cam on them. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were there.
No, any other slate, I would disagree. And I would say you're crazy. He looks awful. But on this slate where I just think it's overall going to be lower scoring. I think you're going to see a lot of guys not hit their ceilings just because of matchups and a lot of slow paced games teams don't want to go back and forth, and teams that want to run the ball are playing teams that want to run the ball. And it's just like, man, there's really only two or three games outside of the windy games that were, you know, originally stuck out, but there's only two or three games that I'm like really excited about that could, you know, be a potential massive shootout. So I think on this slate, I don't hate that at all. Like, you're getting a guy with a rushing upside, a rushing floor. He could get you 20 points. He runs in a touchdown or two touchdowns. That's two touchdowns. That's 12 points right there, and throws for 200 yards. There's your 20-point game. So it's, you know, there's definitely a path for him to get there in 5,700. I'm not going to hate you for it. Yeah, I think any other week I would say no, but this week I'm cool with it.
Yeah, and you know, who's to say what Cam shows up there, right? I mean, it is tough, and maybe I'd feel better about it if it was at Foxborough, but I'm just looking at these Buffalo games. They've definitely been ugly, but, you know, the upside, I guess, is there to a certain extent, and this is the cheapest that we're seeing Cam, like, all year, under 6K, so you got to love that. Let's touch on running back, Maddie. I mean, this is a fun week, right? Running back last week was the absolute nuts there. Giovanni Bernard, 4,600 or 45, whatever his price tag was. You had Jamal Williams at the stone minimum. You know, Kareem Hunt was at a favorable price tag. So many other guys I'm trying to think about. I mean, people were playing Justin Jackson and the Chargers in that plus matchup there against Jacksonville. So there were so many just ways to go. And then you had Alvin Kamara on the slate yet again. And so now we find ourselves on a slate here that's ugly at the position. And Alvin Kamara comes in at 8,200 here. And
Kev,
there he is. There's the Godfather himself rocking the Frank Thomas. What up, Kev?
What's up?
The GOAT. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. We're talking about running backs, Kev. Do you want to chime in on how you feel on quarterbacks real quick before I actually dive into running backs, or you want me to keep riven?
I mean, I'm sure you guys hit on all the same ones that I'd be on. So,
Okay. Let's go. So we're at running back, Kev, and we just want to talk about the position. It's very ugly this week. Alvin Kamara at the top at 8,200. Then you got Derrick Henry at 8K flat. Those are your 8K price running backs. Then you got Dalvin Cook. Shout out to the Godfather here for putting Dalvin Cook as the graphic for this pod, because I love Dalvin this week. Aaron Jones at 7,300. Don't know what his status is going to be. He could be out again. So Jamal Williams at, I believe, 6,100. He comes in at this week. Definitely won't be talking about him. And then Kareem Hunt. I mean, 6,900 for Kareem Hunt. What a price tag that they put him at. So nice, but how does this dude not smash here? I mean, against the Raiders, just what a great spot here. Could be, you know, one of the last times we get to play Kareem Hunt with the Browns backfield all to himself. They're heading into the bye, and then it looks like Nick Chubb is going to be ready to go in week 10. So could be the last time to get this Kareem Hunt love. And then, you know, after that, it kind of drops off. I mean, we talked about Josh Jacobs with the quarterbacks there. He's 6,200. Chris Carson also 6,200. And I mean, the 5K range is really just ugly. I mean, unless you can get behind Melvin Gordon, revenge week going against his former team. If Philip Lindsay's out, I don't know if you can play him if Philip Lindsay's in. Jerick McKinnon there at 5,700, but Jamichael Hasty was getting some run there last week. He's at 5K flat, I believe.
Tevin Coleman might be back too. Keep an eye on that.
Tevin Coleman? Oh, Jesus. So
he might be back. I don't know if it's official. I haven't seen, but there was rumblings that he might return this week.
Dude, so I'm gonna let Kev start it off because he's coming into the pod. But Kev, just, I mean, talk me through running back position. And we also got Lev Bell revenge week as well too. He's 4,700. You know, I got to get some Lev Bell exposure there. But the how it feels this week is, if you're not at the top, right, Kev? So how many of these positions, like, are we going to have to worry about a timeshare? I mean, it's absolutely just ridiculous what we're seeing here with the running back position. San Francisco situation, Kansas City situation. I'm just looking. I mean, even like a guy like Jonathan Taylor for Indy there, Wilkins was getting run, you know, before they went into their bye. So you don't know what you're going to get from him. Dalvin Cook should have the backfield to himself, so I'm not going to bring him up. But, I mean, so many of these guys, as I'm scrolling down the list, like DeAndre Swift, are they still going to bring in Peterson? He looked good last week. But you got Devin Singletary and Moss, who I would love a Buffalo running back this week if I know who the hell it was going to be. So but when you get into your picks, Kev, just kind of talk to me about the position here, as it feels like there's so many 50-50 or 60-40 splits at the position this week, more so than we've seen before.
Yeah, but it doesn't help when you have so many guys that are out. I said it doesn't really help whenever you have so many guys that are out this week. I mean, just been a nightmare of injuries week after week of running backs that continue to go down. So it really limits what you can do. I think most people are going to pay up for Derrick Henry against Cincinnati. He's 8K. I get the play, but I'll probably once again underweight on Derrick Henry. Anytime Derrick Henry is going to be chalk, I try to avoid that because there's just so many different ways that he won't get there. And so for me, I probably won't be able to get to that because I really want to get exposure to the Seattle side of the football, Green Bay, and that offense. And by doing so, it's really hard to do that with playing Derrick Henry. So if I'm going to pay up for a running back is Dalvin Cook. I'm not worried about him coming. I think he's going to be 100% ready to go. Green Bay, you can run the football on. He's $500 cheaper. He's involved in the passing game. I think he's just as good of a play as Derrick Henry is, and he's cheaper. And I don't think he's going to carry as much ownership as Derrick Henry is going to, because I think everybody's going to want to play Derrick Henry against this Bengals defense. So I'm starting there with Dalvin Cook. If I can fit him into the game, I think, you know, in a game stack, I could run him back with Dalvin Cook if I wanted to in a game stack on the Packers side. So, you know, I think Kareem Hunt is interesting, especially, you know, I'm sure you guys have already talked about the wind narrative of the week, you know, the weather narrative that we're going to get this week. But Kareem Hunt makes a lot of sense against the Raiders, 6,900 there at that price tag. Like you mentioned, that this is the last time you're probably going to be able to play Kareem Hunt confidently, you know, barring another injury to Nick Chubb, because Nick Chubb sounds like he's due back. I really, really like Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 6,500. I think the Chiefs do exactly what they did last week. I don't think the Chiefs have just kind of whatever they've been able to kind of exert their will. Like, they just don't throw the ball. They're not opening up the offense. They did the same thing against the Broncos. They just kind of ran the ball down the field, relied on their defense. And it's weird seeing the Chiefs play like this, but I don't think anything's going to change again this week for them because they just don't have to. I mean, I would be absolutely floored if some way that the Jets were able to keep up, with the Chiefs. I just don't think it's going to be possible. So I do think Clyde Edwards-Helaire sees a large workload here. And so at 6,500, I really do like that. I really like Josh Jacobs. I know Cleveland has been good against or has been okay against the run this year, but I do like Josh Jacobs in this game. I think they're going to try to feed him. And at 6,200, I don't think a lot of people are going to play Josh Jacobs. And so at 6,200, I just think that's way too cheap for the type of ceiling that he has. Past that, I do like Daryl Henderson against Miami at 5,900.
He just
kind of carved out the workload here for this team. It's been tough playing anybody from this because you just never know who it's going to be, but it really feels like Daryl Henderson has taken over this backfield and is the guy here. So at 5,900, again, if you're not wanting to pay up, like, I think you can kind of start here and play at Daryl Henderson or even Jamal Williams at 6,100 as well and kind of get into this tier of running back instead of paying up for the top tier guys and open things up. So that's why I think that, you know, Daryl Henderson and Jamal Williams make a lot of sense. You know, past that, like, there's not a lot that I love further down. Finally, you know, it sounds like we might actually get a J.K. Dobbins week, but not against Pittsburgh. Can't do it. Could he have gotten a worse spot where we finally only have two running backs to compete with in this backfield for the Ravens, and it comes in when they're playing the best run defense in all of football? So I can't do that, him or Gus Edwards. I just can't mess with it.
Yeah, this is weird. Me and you are like on the same roster construction path this week. I don't know how I feel about this.
It's like, well, outside of quarterback.
I don't know. Kev likes all these cheaper mid-range running backs, and I feel like that's where I'm going to land because, like I mentioned, Kev, when you were off stream, I think it's a week where you can be different paying up at quarterback and getting exposure to these high-priced studs. Like, I know the Mahomes thing, he's not in a great spot for the Jets to push him on the other side, but, you know, there is a path where he throws four touchdowns against the Jets, and nobody's going to pay for him at 8,100, and his pass catchers are not that expensive either. Like, you compare Mahomes at 8,100, Tyreek at 6,700, and Kelsey at like low sixes, and that's still much cheaper than pairing up all the Seattle guys. To do that, though, you've got to sacrifice at running back. I feel like that's the path I'm going to be forced down this week if I'm playing like a Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson, is I'm going to have to make a sacrifice at running back and not be able to play the Derrick Henrys and the Alvin Kamaras. And I really, really like the Daryl Henderson call. Like, he is starting to, you know, that's starting to, like you said, it's starting to be his backfield. Malcolm Brown is getting the third down work and he is mixing in here and there, but it is Henderson's backfield right now. Cam Akers is seeing like one or two snaps a game over the last couple of weeks. Henderson has 27 red zone carries compared to Malcolm Brown's 12 on the year. And most of Malcolm Brown's came in the first two or three weeks. It's really been the Henderson show, especially once they get in close, ever since like week three. So in Miami, it's a great matchup. Miami ranks like fourth fewest rush attempts faced, but they have given up like the 14th most rush yards and the eighth most touchdowns. So it's like teams that are not running on them are having really good success running on them. They just aren't running on them at a high volume. But now you have the Rams who want to run the football down everybody's throat because they have arguably the best run blocking line in the NFL. No matter how you slice it, it is arguably the best rushing offensive line versus the worst rushing defensive line matchup we have this week. So 5,900, nobody's going to play him. I absolutely love that call. And I think it's a great way to pair up, you know, with one of those high priced quarterbacks. And I do have concerns. I know we'll talk about Kamara. I do have concerns about him. The Bears have quietly been very, very, very good at defending receiving running backs. I mean, you look at Mike Davis, a guy who has lit everybody on fire in the past game, had two catches for 3 yards against Chicago. Then you've got the Colts with Phillip Rivers. Rivers, we know he throws over and over and over again to his running backs. They had like two catches for 20 yards. The Bears have shut down every pass catching running back. And right. Now you've got Michael Thomas is out. Emmanuel Sanders is out. If I'm the Bears defense, I'm saying, okay, I'm putting two or three guys on Kamara every single time. Beat me with Jared Cook. Beat me with Taysom Hill. Beat me with these other guys. And like, it just feels like a spot where the defense can key in on Kamara even more than they normally can. And at 8,200, I totally get playing him in cash. I'm really concerned that the Saints struggle to move the ball throughout that whole game. And Kamara, a lot of Kamara's points come from pass catches and touchdowns. And if he is going to be limited in pass catching duties because of how good the Bears have been and they can't move the ball and he's not going to score multiple touchdowns in tournaments, I think you can absolutely can fade him at 8,200 or be underweight. I wouldn't necessarily just full blown kamikaze right. fade, but yeah,
no, it definitely scares you to fade him at that price. And I think Thomas is questionable, Maddie. I don't think he's been officially ruled out. It looked like they were going to bring him back into practice, I believe. So yeah, but you know that saga has just been. Yeah, I mean, if it weren't for 2020 going the way that it was with all this, you know, COVID talk, then this would be the talk of the season, right? Because this dude, you know, are they trading him? Are they keeping him? He's getting into fights with teammates. He's up on the injury reports with multiple injuries. It's just wild there. But yeah, if Thomas is playing, I mean, Kamara, like that kind of just really takes away from me, even though the Bears have been pretty good at limiting wide receivers this year. It's just the upside for Kamara will then be, you know, factored in there with Drew Brees getting Thomas back out there. I mean, yeah, any way you slice it, on Thursday night, I feel like we know where people are going to go. I mean, Derrick Henry, Kareem Hunt, that's where the start is. Kamara's going to see ownership.
Kamara's actually projected highest owned.
Okay. And right now at quarterback?
At running back. I can give you.
Oh, here, Kamara. I thought you said Kamara.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Kamara.
No, that's crazy. I mean, yeah, because people just aren't feeling comfortable about the slate. That's what it goes to show you. When the highest priced running back on the road there, you know, and not really that plus of a matchup, so to speak, is going to be one of your highest owned this early. It just really kind of talks to how the slate is. I get what you guys are saying about Henderson. I guess my kind of fear about that is the West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast there. They just played on Monday night. You know, it was a game that they won handily against Chicago, but they weren't, you know, having to rely on it. They are going against a rookie quarterback here. Tua's getting the start. So maybe the defense shows up, gives them a short field, which would be favorable for Henderson. But this, I don't want to say trap game. I hate kind of using that phrase, but it just kind of seems like, and we've seen the Rams let down before in spots where they should be handling their business and just not showing up for whatever reason. And you think about, like, if Henderson does get slowed down for whatever reason, or just it isn't working, like, they have no problem bringing in Malcolm Brown. there. They have no problem like getting all these other running backs. And that's what McVay has just been so adamant about that. Like, it is a committee. It's a committee. I'm not naming a lead back. It's everybody's getting the mix. Like, okay, fuck you, Sean. Like, just tell us who the lead back is and let us play these guys. But I'm looking at that price tag there at 5,900. And I'm like, okay, I can, you know, if Carson's out there healthy, he's 6,200, $300 more. I can find money for that to get exposure to the Seattle offense. Like, Josh Jacobs is 6,200. This dude's getting 20, 25 opportunities in every game that he's in. If the wind is a factor, like, I don't have Derek Carr, I can get behind that. Joe Mixon even being back against Tennessee. I mean, you know, talk about what James Conner's week could have been last week. This dude was getting touchdowns on this team and they were getting called back. Like, if he hits those touchdowns, I feel like Mixon's ownership, if he's coming back, and I don't want to play Bernard, but Mixon with the role that he was having in that offense, like, that could really be intriguing at only 6,300 there. He could be in a good spot. So there are a couple spots in that 6K range, I feel like, that could go overlooked. And you said the ownership will be low on Henderson, but I still do want to try and find a guy there who has a legitimate role with pass catching upside to play with my backs this week. But what are there any other things that we should touch on here? I mean, Dalvin Cook, he's 7,500. I know he's the cover boy this week, Kev, that you made him, but the opportunities have been there. And, you know, I think because he hasn't been on the field this long, and maybe because people were burned by Madison at 7,200 when it was Madison chalk week, that they're not getting there. But Dalvin Cook is just a beast. He's a different animal. And if he's on the field, we know that Mike Zimmer, it's to run the ball. I mean, they are going to try and slow down the clock, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field, and get Dalvin Cook the ball. He had, what was it, 17 carries? Or he only had 12 carries in that first game back, but he was dealing with the holdout issues and things like that. There's no really preseason this year. Still scored two touchdowns, got 50 yards. I mean, and Green Bay's been they've been able to attack on the ground. So Dalvin Cook could really put up a have to have it score this week there. You guys got any thoughts on running back?
No, I was just going to say, touching on that game as a whole, I think 6,100, don't get scared off that price increase on Williams from last week. The guy had 24 opportunities, 19 carries and five targets. You're not going to see that much volume on many guys on this slate, let alone across the league in general. So 6,100 in a great rushing matchup against Minnesota. He's going to be involved in the pass game as long as Aaron Jones is out, obviously. I think that price is too cheap, and I'm going to be definitely overweight even if he's popular. I feel like his volume is so locked in. And last week would have been the week, a blowout win against a low, awful defense like Houston. Last week would have been the A.J. Dillon week if they were going to, you know, say, let's get this guy 10 to 15 carries. It would have been last week. This is a divisional game on the road. Or are they at home? They might be at home. But either way, it doesn't matter. It's a divisional game. They're playing Minnesota. You know, they're not going to mess around. They're going to get their main guy on the field at all times, and that's going to be Jamal Williams. They're not going to just turn over the keys to the offense to Dillon in this matchup. So, yeah, and I love the Dalvin Cook call too. Like, if you're playing, if you are like, man, I got to play this cheap quarterback. He's going to be popular. Jimmy G, like, I love Jimmy G this week. He's going to be popular. How can I be different with my Jimmy G team? Okay, let me play Dalvin Cook instead of Kamara or Derrick Henry at no ownership. All of a sudden, my Jimmy G team is now different. Kamara or Henry go for 19 and Dalvin Cook goes for 35. I win. Like, those are like the overall lineup ownership construction things that I was talking about last week. Is so many people overlook, they try to focus on one individual player's ownership as opposed to your lineup as a whole. So it's okay to play a cheap passing attack that's popular. If you do, pay up at running back and be different with the running back that you're paying up for. And I love Dalvin Cook.
I mean, you guys didn't really talk about Jonathan. I mean, I don't know if Jonathan Taylor. Do you guys want any exposure to him? Because, I mean, he is kind of in that weird spot where he's cheaper than Kareem Hunt, but not by much. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is you know, only $100 cheaper. Jonathan Taylor hasn't really had any explosion games or anything big. But this does feel like a really good spot for him against a Detroit defense that has been terrible against the run. They are 29th in adjusted line yards. They're also, 31st in power rank, 28th in stuff rank, 30th in second level, and 19th in open field. So like this feels like a real good spot for him to finally have like that kind of like coming out game that he really hasn't had. The problem has been surprisingly like the one thing like we all thought about this Colts offensive line is that it was going to be one of the best things, but it really just hasn't been this year. It's been great. Like their offensive line comes in, like I was surprised when I was looking it up, like they're 28th in adjusted line yards, 25th in power, 22nd in stuff, 27th in second, and 24th in open field rank. Like for an offensive line that was supposed to be, you know, top five in the league after all the move, you know, they just really haven't lived up to that hype. But this is a great matchup for him, and he does get pass catching work. I don't hate the price tag that's on him either at 6,600. Like I feel like he's going to come in under owned, and if he is, like I feel like that's a nice pivot off of somebody like Kareem Hunt, who's probably going to be the highest, if not the second highest, owned running back on the slate. And as a guy who gets as many opportunities as he does, like I don't think this is a terrible matchup. You know, it's also inside a dome, so weather really isn't a factor. So
Jonathan Taylor. I wouldn't pivot off Kareem Hunt though, Kev. I mean, Kareem Hunt's in a good spot as well too, with getting a defined role there and target share going against the Raiders defense, and that's a way you can attack them. You look at Jonathan Taylor's share that he's seeing, and it just isn't enough to warrant what he should be getting. I mean, all things considered, Kev, if this was somebody who was getting, you know, even 18 opportunities, 17 opportunities, close to 20, this would be nice. But you're looking at these attempts and they just really haven't hit there. And guys we were talking about earlier with the quarterbacks and before the start of the slate, like Jordan Wilkins is still getting utilized in the role. And he had missed some games, which was helping out Taylor. But I think he's going to be back for this game. And it's just not one that I know I can trust. I mean, in 20 max fields, like having some exposure to him, yeah, that does make sense off of a pivot on some of these guys. But on my tighter builds and three maxes, like I just can't go there enough. And like, you know, what's to say that we don't see this indie team that was just, you know, getting bloused by Cincinnati, you know, right? And then having to throw on the back of Phillip Rivers to win, you know, doesn't come out here. I just see so many ways that this could end up disappointing rather than smashing.
Yeah, I think the comp for me this week in terms of outlook is with Jonathan Taylor is probably Henderson. Like you look at volume for both of those guys, they're both going to approach the 15 to 17 carry mark with 2 to 3 targets. And their matchups on the ground are basically the same. Miami is just as bad in all those metrics on Football Outsiders that you mentioned for Detroit. And Henderson's 700 cheaper, I think. He's 5,900. And then you look at, like Kev was talking about, the offensive line hasn't been good for Indy. Well, you look at the Rams offensive line, they've been almost the best in the league in all those categories. So I think if I'm going to take a shot on a guy who's going to see probably, I'll peg him at 16 to 18 opportunities. I think for me this week, it would be Henderson. I do agree that the matchup is there for JT. I just think Henderson's got the same sort of outlook, maybe even a touch better, and he's a little bit cheaper. So that's just how I think it's a very comparable situation, though. I don't hate it at all.
Kev, since you're pivoting off of Hunt, that means you love Jamal Williams this week, right?
No, I don't. Like, I mean, I shouldn't say that. Like, I really don't have anything against playing him. $6,100. I get it, but I do feel like, I mean, had he not scored that touchdown late in the game, that garbage time touchdown that he got, like he would have had 13, 14 DK points, which still would have been fine at the price that he was last week. But for him, if the Vikings are, I will be interested to see how this plays out with him. If the Vikings are able to get a lead against the Packers, and does this change his role at all? And do we see some things that are a little bit different here? I don't hate it at 6,100, but I don't know. I'll have some exposure to him just like I did last week. I'm definitely going to be underweight from the field.
Fair enough, Kev. Fair enough. Let's move on to wide receivers and kind of talk about the position here. And it's been wild. I mean, we got Davante Adams leaping bounds at the top at 8,800 this week on DraftKings. Next closest guy comes in is DK Metcalf, who's $1,300 cheaper at 7,500. It's just crazy. Michael Thomas, 7,300 if he suits up. Adam Thielen, 72. Lockett seeing a huge price increase, or maybe not that huge. That's $700 to 7,100 from 64 from last week. Allen Robinson, he's questionable in concussion protocol. He's 7K. That's your top. Maddie, you said that AJ Brown, he was going to be the kind of odd guy out for you if you were going in the Tennessee range there, with him being at 6,900 now, which is priced higher than even Stephon Diggs, who doesn't have a great matchup against Stephon Gilmore, but still 6,800 for him. I mean, Maddie, you alluded to the Pat Mahomes, you know, wanting to get Pat Mahomes exposure, and Tyreek Hill comes in at 6,700. And that game is just, you know, winning by 19 and a half or plus for Kansas City, as Vegas is projecting. Like, how is that not done on the heels of Tyreek Hill? I mean, just such an explosive player. And the secondary from the Jets is just going to have a hard time stopping him. So that's probably the main way I would try and get exposure to that game, is just try and get the Tyreek Hill, like, blow up game that we haven't seen happen yet. I thought we possibly could see it last week. Didn't come to fruition, but, you know, sorry, I digress. I want to get you guys thoughts here. I mean, there's so many different angles I feel like to take this week, more so than others at wide receiver, knowing that Davante Adams, like, first and foremost, is going to be the guy that people play. I mean, it doesn't matter what his price tag is. He's got a favorable matchup against Minnesota. Their cornerbacks are a joke and not healthy. And at 8,800, you still don't feel like you're getting, you know, you still feel like you're getting a deal on him. I feel like people want to say, looking at the rest of how this slate comes up. But even in the mid range here, I still think there's guys, you know, that could show out. I mean, Keenan Allen's been doing it. He's 6,200. You got Brandon Ayuk there, who's going to have the team to himself at San Fran at 5,800 against a Seattle defense.
He's not going to have it to himself. He's not going to have it to himself.
Cincinnati receivers are still, you know, kind of cheap, except for Tyler Boyd, who's 66, but T. Higgins is 56, and A.J. Green, who's, you know, been an air yards master and seeing 24 targets the past 2 weeks. He comes in at 4,500. I want to hear, Maddie, I guess you started off because you have the guy who's going to be leveraged off of Brandon Ayuk. But I just feel like, for me, you know, I definitely want some Adams exposure, but I'm not too keen on the Minnesota guys run back. They're just so priced up to what they could offer. I guess maybe I would try and get Adam Thielen there because he has the red zone role and maybe people chase Justin Jefferson. But outside of like Tyreek Hill and DK Metcalf, because I like Russell Wilson, I'm really trying to fall within the 5K range, low 6K range for my guys. I do like Marquise Brown a ton to get exposure to the Baltimore side of things, because, I mean, Pittsburgh has been absolutely atrocious at stopping receivers getting big plays on them. It's every week wide receivers are just taking them to the house. So Marquise Brown, you hope that this is a good right spot for him. But go ahead, Maddie, take the wheel and let's talk about these wide receivers.
Yeah, so I'll just go ahead and start it with somebody you wouldn't expect me to start it with, and that's Kendrick Bourne. First 4 weeks of the season, he saw 5, 5, 6, and 6 targets, and most of those were with Deebo out. And once again, we have no Deebo Samuel. The nice thing about this matchup is we know which side of the field the Seattle corners are going to play, and the 49ers have actually been pretty set in their ways with where they've played their wide receivers too. So Kendrick Bourne, he gets matched up with Shaq Griffin this week. And just to give you some stats here, Shaq Griffin has allowed 33 completions on 48 targets for a 69% catch rate. Nice. 419 yards, which is good enough for 9 yards per target and 13 yards per completion. And he has allowed a whopping 5 touchdowns in 6 games.
Ooh, baby.
5 touchdowns in 6 games, which Kendrick Bourne has also been one of the main red zone targets for Jimmy G, both last year and this year. I know they haven't really passed a lot this year, but I mean, we have seen Jimmy G in these games where the offense on the other side pushes him. Like, I think back, the game that I think about the most when talking about him is the Saints game last year with the 49ers, where they scored a combined 100 points. Like, we know he's got it in him against a bad defense, and Seattle's going to force him to push the ball. And I think Kendrick Bourne at 3,500, I just don't see another low price wide receiver down there that I feel good about that has a solid volume and a red zone role like Kendrick Bourne in as good of a matchup this year.
Mims is fine.
We kind of talked about him when I was bringing up the Mahomes play. Like, you can attack, you can get all the Chiefs exposure. Like, if they were to score four passing touchdowns, you just play Mahomes and Tyreek and Kelsey, and then you can run it back with a 4K Denzel Mims. Like, he's going to be there.
He's 3,200.
Oh, he is 3,200. I thought he was a little.
Yeah, he's 3,200.
Like, you can play Mims and Bourne and all the dudes.
You're not playing Mims and Bourne, Maddie. Show me team where you play Mims and Bourne.
It would be on a Mahomes team.
Okay.
It would be on a Mahomes team, but you absolutely can play Mims and Bourne. I think across the board, this is a lower scoring week. You're not going to see as many high ceiling outcomes. And so I think, you know, you're playing a guy at 3,500 and Kendrick Bourne, he gets you 15 points. I think he's in the optimal lineup just because of the makeup of the slate. And I know that's a lot of words to say about somebody like Kendrick Bourne, but I mean, I just, for a slate where we're struggling to find, you know, cheaper value, it just, that spot to me just stands out head and shoulders above all the other wide receivers and running backs. So I do like him. I love the Hollywood Brown call. He would be my pairing with Lamar, I think, over Andrews. Even with Bush out last week, Jonnu didn't do anything against Pittsburgh, and they've shut down the tight end all year. So I do get, you know, kind of weary about paying 6K for Mark Andrews against Pittsburgh. But we've seen wide receivers, like you said, torch, like all, even back to week one, Darius Slayton went nuclear against them. So A.J. Brown did it last week. It's possible and it's likely. I like Hollywood, 6,100. Love the Tyreek play. Outside of that, I mean, the Bengals guys are fine. You can run them back if you're stacking up Tennessee. I like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. T. Higgins is like 1K cheaper, so I think I prefer him. I don't know what you guys are doing with A.J. Green, but he gets the Malcolm Butler treatment this week, who Butler's been playing pretty good this year. So
yeah, he didn't do that well last week. Deontay was getting loose. I mean, I want to know what's going on with Christian Fulton. I haven't seen their injury report.
Oh, he's out.
Okay.
Yeah, some seventh round guy like Chris Jackson, I think is his name. I was looking at it last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, even at his price, Tyler Boyd at 6,600. Like, I mean,
yeah, I mean,
he keeps doing it.
100 yards and a touchdown upside. He's been one of Burrow's favorite targets. Like, 6,600 feels weird to pay for Tyler Boyd, but like you said, he just keeps doing it, and Tennessee is going to force him to throw the ball. So,
Kev, where are you at with wide receiver this week? How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good about it, actually. You know, so far this year, there really hasn't been any time that I've really wanted to play any, like, super cheap wide receivers. And this is a week that there's quite a few, like, sub-4K wide receivers that I think are in play. I think one of them are going to break the slate. And
Valdez-Scantling.
No, I think actually it could be Darnell Mooney. Like, you guys aren't really talking about it. Allen Robinson doesn't sound like he's going to play this week. Like, he has to return to practice. If he doesn't come back tomorrow, he's obviously going to be out this week. You beat New Orleans through the air, so it is a home. But, like, I just feel like that Darnell Mooney could end up at, what is he, 3,500? Like, I think this is a great spot for him. And at that price tag, like, he, without Allen Robinson, like, the dude could see 10 plus touches quite easily. So, like, I like that. I like playing Darnell Mooney here. And I don't really mind him playing him, even if Allen Robinson does play. And so, you know, I'm not really all that concerned with too many of the New Orleans secondary pieces that they have. They've been burnt most of the year. Now, of course, trusting Nick Foles is a whole nother thing. But I do think, you know, at 3,500, he doesn't have to do a ton. Darnell Mooney doesn't. And right now, I mean, he looks much better than what Anthony Miller has looked. And, you know, he's one of Foles' favorite targets. So without him, like, again, like, I think you can see 10 plus targets, and at $3,500, like, it's hard not to like that. Of course, at the top, I think this is a big DK Metcalf bounce back spot at 7,500. Everybody's going to play Tyler Lockett because he just exploded, everybody's going to see that. They're going to be chasing those points, and Tyler Lockett's still cheaper than DK Metcalf is. I think this is a big bounce back spot for him. Paying $8,800 for Davante Adams is something. It's something. Like,
that's your boy, Kev.
That's one of the win games, too. That Green Bay game is one of the wind games too.
Yeah. And
where
I
it's
just
like 25 to 40 mile an hour winds.
That's Mr. Drop Passes, Davante Adams.
Okay. I love Davante, but
if I'm paying $8,800, I need a guy in a dome, 72 degrees, you know, I'm playing on turf.
Well, like, but like most of last year, like whenever Michael Thomas was that expensive, like it was hard to play him, and he balled like every single fucking week, right? Like he just crushed, and like it was hard to justify playing him last year. An $8,800 wide receiver is more expensive than you're going to pay for any running back this week, and it's hard to justify playing an $8,800 running back. And I would much rather do that than pay a wide receiver. Can he get smash? Absolutely. We just saw what he did last week against Houston, and Minnesota's secondary is certainly not something that you're all that concerned with. But I don't know, that's going to be tough. Like I just like, and if Michael Thomas plays, I'm going to be overweight on some Michael Thomas. I totally understand that Chicago's secondary is pretty good and everything else, but Michael Thomas 7,300. Give me all of that. Because I just think that price is too cheap for him. I mean, he is normally an 85 to 9K wide receiver, and getting him at 7,300 is probably the cheapest he'll be all year. So I do like paying for that. I would prefer to play $7,300 Michael Thomas versus an $8,800 Davante Adams in what could be a worse spot for Michael Thomas. But regardless of that, you know, some of the other guys that are cheaper, you know, Tyreek Hill, I totally understand that at 6,700. It looks like he's actually, from some of the ownership I've seen, that he's actually going to be pretty highly owned. Could be in the top five of ownership among wide receivers. So that scares the hell out of me because I know that he's such a big play threat. He's a guy that could, you know, house call two touchdowns and hit value just from that. But I don't know. Like, they haven't really been using him as much in that way. Like, he's really been much more of a short intermediate route type of player this year and just kind of getting him in space. And they've been using Mecole Hardman a little bit more for that. So I do think Mecole Hardman is actually a nice leverage spot off of Tyreek Hill. And Mecole Hardman's only 4,700. So I really don't mind playing Mecole Hardman there. I love Justin Jefferson at 6,500. I would rather play him, I think, than Adam Thielen, because I think Adam Thielen is going to see all the Jair Alexander he can handle. And so I do think that he is in a better spot.
This year. He just what? Beat him this year. He beat him this year, earlier this year, week one.
He took week,
him out. He's the only wide receiver that's been able to show out on this dude.
We'll see.
But the red zone role is there for Thielen, though, right, Kev, though? I mean, if they get in the red zone, like, you're playing Justin Jefferson because of the big play ability.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I hear you.
And I think he's in just as good, if not better, spot than a wide receiver. You know, Adam Thielen, 7,200. You can play Justin Jefferson at, 6,500. So that's where I come in on that.
I like Kupp, too.
Okay.
Because the outside corners for Miami are Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. So that's going to be Woods and Josh Reynolds, right? And so then you've got some dude named Nick Needham playing the slot against Cooper
Kupp. He's been playing. He's been terrible.
Yeah. So he has definitely been their worst corner. So, you know, 6,500, I think the Rams just come in and run the ball, and Goff maybe throws like 25 to 28 times. But if the Rams do have to throw in, and they will throw some, but I mean, we know Cooper Kupp's their red zone role guy. You know, he's one of Goff's favorite targets and definitely has the matchup here. I just want to say that because I've landed on some teams where I've got 6,500 left in the flex, and I'm looking at Justin Jefferson and I'm looking at Kupp, and I do like Kupp in that range. It's a tough range, though.
No, it is. I mean, and most likely you're going to see people pay down for Keenan Allen in that range against Denver, but, you know, who know? I mean, that game's going to be very interesting with the Chargers traveling into Denver to play. I mean, it's a fun week, right? I mean, Kev, we started off the pod just by saying, like, this week is fun because of, you know, where ownership is kind of leaning towards. And so just by being different in one or two spots, like, your team is completely different. If you take a stand, like, I mean, Maddie, if you're taking a stand on Brandon Ayuk to play Kendrick Bourne, like, you already have that much leverage ownership on the field. And we talked about it last week in week seven off of week six with the Derrick Henry, you know, blow up spot is the total ownership, right, of your team. So what is the total ownership come in at with your team? If you're playing all these chalk guys, 40%, 30%, 50%, you know, 20%, the total ownership is going to be, you know, drastically changed if you take guys who are, you know, two guys who are under 10% owned already, you've already got a leg up on the field there. So
that's not to say I don't like Ayuk this week. Like I even think he's a great one-off play. If you're not stacking Jimmy G, I just think, like you said, if you were to go set a lineup with Jimmy G, I guarantee you, you would go Jimmy G, Ayuk, and Kittle. And then you would run it back Lockett or DK. And so you can be different. Go Jimmy G, Bourne, save the money off Ayuk for $2,300 and Kittle, and then run it back with DK. And all of a sudden, now my Jimmy stack is different. Okay, if Ayuk gets 10 and Bourne catches 2 touchdowns and he's got 22, now I'm the winning San Francisco stack, which is my favorite spot of the week, despite how high owned it was. So just little things like that can, you know, you can still attack the good spots because, I mean, to be honest, the field is getting sharper every single year and every single week. The chalk is chalk for a reason. Like, there's so many content sites that do good research and have their voices heard in the community, and there's a reason these guys are chalk. So it's just a matter of picking and choosing which spots to, you know, kind of leverage off the chalk.
I hear you there. You guys got any other things on wide receivers before we move into tight ends?
No, I mean, I think a couple other guys I like Kenny Galladay quite a bit. I know Xavier Rhodes has played better this year than what he has in the previous years, but I still think Kenny Galladay can smash in the spot at 6,600. And I do like him quite a bit. And then I really want to play a Pittsburgh wide receiver, but I don't know, because is Marlon Humphrey, has he returned to practice yet?
I haven't seen either.
I know he was missing on Wednesday.
If he were to miss this week,
let me try to do a quick search.
I think Juju would be interesting, but oh, man, I don't know what Juju's ceiling is. I mean, but he did get hammered with targets again last week when he had the 13 targets.
Yeah. And he looked nice last week.
So maybe he's healthy again, but I really still don't mind Deontay Johnson at 5,500, who looks like he's good to go for this week. So
Marlon Humphrey returned. Jimmy Smith sat out.
Okay. So this gave him some rest. So I do think Deontay would be interesting, because I think that the outside wide receivers, especially, you know, I've said it before, Marcus Peters, he's kind of overrated. He's a decent corner. Like, he's not, like, people try to act like he's an elite cornerback, and he's not. He gets beat one too many times, and he hasn't really actually. If you look at his numbers this year, he's been torched a lot. He has not been good so far this year. So I do think that people are going to completely stay away from the Pittsburgh wide receivers. And I think getting exposure to that, either whether it's Juju or whether it's through Deontay Johnson, I think makes a lot of sense. And there's going to be no ownership on them.
Yeah. And so Jimmy Smith is actually dealing with an Achilles. And so he was limited yesterday and DNP today. So him and Mark Ingram are the two only injury related DMPs.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, like you said, the outside receivers there get interesting. I mean, it's hard to know which one is going to go off, right? Because, I mean, both Claypool and Deontay can explode, but I absolutely would run back one of those two guys. I don't think I would run back Connor if I was playing Lamar.
And then what about the last one I was curious about, what you guys thought was on Cole Beasley at 5,300.
Oh, the game just feels so gross.
Yeah, I think the weather is looking rough too there, Kev. Like, it looks like it's going to be sloppy rain, things of that nature. And the target share has been there, but I
think John Brown's back this week, I think.
Yeah, he is back. He is back. They are.
Which he's like, he's really cheap. I was looking at him and debating playing him, and I don't know, I kind of had to talk myself off that ledge, but he's like 4K or something, 4,500.
I just feel like, you know, this would be the week where playing $5,300 Cole Beasley, like, no thank you. I want as much salary as I can on these for sure options here. Like, I would playing Cole Beasley, I would play a Jets guy, honestly, over Cole Beasley, just in the sense of if Crowder and Perryman are out, like, I'll take Mims at 3,200 or whatever he is. Like, I'll take, you know, chances on Jeff Smith or Braxton Berrios in the 3K range over that guy, just because I need the salary. I could use that 2K elsewhere. The only other guy I want to talk about before tight end was I think AJ Brown's on the injury report with knee. I'm not sure what his status is going to be for tomorrow, Friday practice, but Corey Davis is back, 5,100. Saw some targets last week. That's a guy who you could pivot to if you don't want to play Cole Beasley. 5,100 there against Cincinnati. Saw 10 targets last week against Pittsburgh. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Tannehill is popular this right now, so maybe people get on a stack of Tannehill and Corey Davis and Janu if it does get ruled early enough that AJ Brown's out. But if it's, you know, somewhat questionable, or even if he ends up playing, like 5,100 Corey Davis, any interest there for you guys before we move on?
I mean, you have to like him, right? Like, he's getting a ton of targets. He had 10 right. last week. It's just like the Titans are just a team I want to game stack every week, their whole game, because they're playing at such a fast pace. Like, they're near the top of the league in pace, near the top of the league in no huddle rate. They're throwing the ball more. Last year, it was just, let's run Derrick Henry 30 times and Tannehill's going to throw 19 to 25 times and we're just going to win that way. This year, it's like they just want to play both ways. They want to pass and run the ball. And their tempo has led to them being among the highest total games almost every week. Like we saw it last week, too, with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, just you're getting the guy with a wide role.
Yeah.
Right.
You guys going to play Jakobi Meyers without with no N'Keal Harry or no Julian Edelman?
I am not.
Kev, before you joined, and I'm not sure if you're listening, but I did say that I had interest in.
Yeah, you can run it. You can run it with $3,500 Jakobi Meyers. Jakobi Meyers, you know, he was their standout last week. I think he had 60 yards receiving.
If I'm playing Cam, I'm hoping for, you know, two red zone rushing scores, and I guess maybe a touchdown to whomever. But I don't want to have to guess who that's going to be to, and then.
There's no fucking way I'm playing Jakobi Meyers, but there is a lot. Hey,
he's had some preseason shine. He's had some preseason shine. Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, well, he's not Preston Williams. So, but there's a lot of there's like I said, there's just a lot of I think cheap wide receivers that I think are actually in play this week, and they're not just complete dart throws.
For sure, and you'll probably need them. I mean, there's going to be a receiver under 5K that pops well over their, you know, expected point total that you might need if all these top guys hit on your rosters. Let's talk about tight end before we get in the defense and do our builds before we wrap up here. Thanks for everybody joining in for the DGen Nation Pod. It's the Week 8 NFL DFS Breakdown. You're watching us on YouTube, Periscope, or Twitch, or listening to us. Really appreciate you guys rocking with us all season long. Tight end position, we got George Kittle at the top at 7K, Kelsey 6,600, Mark Andrews at 5,800, Darren Waller 56, Hockenson at 53, and those are your 5K and up tight ends this week. Everybody's 4K and below. Maddie, I don't even want to take the flare away from you because you were on this before I was, but I mean, Jonnu Smith, like, and I'm going back to cash this week to kind of play because it is such an ugly week. So I'm going to try and take advantage of that. But Jonnu Smith at 4,100 just seems too cheap. I mean, he did let down, was injured, left the game, saw four targets still in that game, but, you know, has a red zone role here. Just an easy way to get exposure to that game if points are going to be scored there. So you got to love him. But I mean, at the top here, Darren Waller, I don't know how I can get off this guy at 5,600 what he is, especially if there is going to be weather concerns. Like, he's going to get the underneath work here. He's Derek Carr's favorite target. You know, you're looking at his target totals, which have just been ridiculous outside of the New England game, and that's to be expected when you're facing a Bill Belichick defense taking out the best player there. But just, you know, double digits fantasy points, DK points in the past three games. He's just, his role is just, you know what you're getting from him. And he's too cheap for what you're getting. So really like him. But at the bottom here, I mean, I guess there's going to be some interest in a guy like Harrison Bryant, who was named a starter late on Sunday, who goes out and balls for two touchdowns. He's 3,200 there going against the Raiders. I think there'll be some interest in him. Irv Smith, 3K flat. And then, dude, you got to scroll all the way down. This guy, Cole Kmet here in Chicago. I think he's the flat man this week at 2,500. Pretty much made him and Anthony Miller were the only guys that could make plays for Chicago on Monday against the Rams last week. And he is the minimum. The coaches have already talked about trying to work him in and getting him more share. Jimmy Graham, he saw his role affected until they really, like, were down the stretch and needed, to make plays to get back into the game is when we saw Jimmy Graham finally hit the field and he saw his five or six targets. But before that, like, it was this kid, Cole Kmet, who was over the field and making plays there. So if they work him into the office and try to utilize him against the Saints, who we've been able to attack tight ends against the Saints with, I do have some interest in getting Cole Kmet there. It feels ugly, but I mean, we're talking about paying down at the slate. And if I can get, you know, running backs in a good spot that are priced up and my, I feel comfortable about my wide receivers, I will definitely take some shots in MMEs and 20 maxes on Cole Kmet there. Kev, talk to me about tight end this week. What's jumping out at you?
Pretty straightforward. It's Waller, if I can get up to him.
Yep.
Or Kittle. I think if I, you know, I'll probably have a lot of Kittle with my Jimmy G stacks, but it's going to be Waller. And then it's going to be Janu, who is absolutely ridiculously cheap at 4,100, who is going to smash Cincinnati. And if I really want to get wild, I'm going to go down and I'm going to play Irv Smith, who is 3K, continually just gets more and more involved in this offense, you know, running more routes. His last two games against Seattle and Atlanta, he played 72% of the snaps and 81% of the snaps. He ran 31 routes against Seattle, 31 routes against Atlanta, five targets in each of those two games, four receptions. 60 and 55 yards, hasn't found the end zone. So at 3K, Irv Smith can absolutely crush that price. And so I think that he is somebody that I do have some interest in. I went and kind of went back and looked at Njoku and Harrison Bryant, and they're actually pretty similar in terms of the routes they ran, because Harrison Bryant did play more of the snaps. He played 76% of the snaps, but only ran 14 routes, where Njoku played 56% of the snaps, but still run 12 routes. So they pretty much ran the same amount of routes. One had three targets, the other one had five targets. So I think a lot of people are going to play Harrison Bryant because of that price. And I mean, I don't know if I really want either one of them, to be honest with you, because I don't think it's going to be that simple of a situation, because I think both of them are so involved in the offense, or at least were last week. And I think now with Odell, I think you could see them run a lot of 12 personnel now. Even more so, you know, with this, because I mean, we're talking about Donovan Peoples-Jones, and I'm so tired of hearing people talk about Rashard Higgins. Rashard Higgins is a fucking bum. Like, I've been hearing all week people talk about Rashard Higgins. Like, this guy, people have been trying to make this guy a thing for like the last 3 years in Cleveland. And like every year, oh, look, Rashard Higgins is going to become a thing. Here we go. And he just doesn't. Like, I don't care what his price is. He can be 3K this week. I'm not playing Rashard Higgins. Like, he's unathletic.
The win game.
Okay. And he's just a guy. Man. Okay. And so, like, everybody wants to play him. Yes, Will. Like, you know, I see you in the chat over here talking about Rashard Higgins. Like, no, you don't play Rashard Higgins this week.
He's fourth highest owned wide receiver.
That is fucking stupid.
It's Davante Adams, Keenan Allen, Tyler Lockett, Rashard Higgins. One of these things does not belong.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And it's him.
That's crazy.
And we just talked about how many of these cheap wide receivers there are this week.
Right.
There's so many of them. He's not the guy. He's not the one. Okay. Like, I would rather play Donovan Peoples-Jones, who is a world class athlete compared to Rashard Higgins. Right. Like, it's not even close. And so, like, I can't do it. And I'm not playing Donovan Peoples-Jones.
World-class athlete. I love it. Yeah, we really did. We didn't really talk about him. I mean, but, you know, Jarvis Landry still being there, I guess he could be an interesting kind of pivot. I think he's 4,700 there. But it is just going to be interesting to see how the Browns target hierarchy goes, I guess, for lack of a better term, with OBJ out, you know, and how they do, if they succeed or whatever. I know a lot was made this week about Baker being better without Odell on the field, which just seems kind of ludicrous to me. But, you know, I digress. Go ahead, Kev. Is that those are your roundouts there? I like the Irv Smith call.
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple. I don't think I'm going to get too cute with tight end. I think it's, you know, if Noah Fant, which doesn't sound like he's going to play. Well, if he plays, like, I don't know, because, I mean, I guess he was a full participant today in practice. But, man, he did not look right against Kansas City. He just did not look right. Like, yeah, he looked like he was severely injured, but looks like he practiced in full. I guess the other guy that I forgot to mention was Jared Cook. I do like Jared Cook at 4,400. Might like him a little less if Michael Thomas ends up playing, but I do think Jared Cook at 4,400, who doesn't really carry any ownership, solid red zone threat for Drew Brees in this offense. So that it's pretty simple for me, though. It's going to be Kittle, it's Waller, it's Janu, and then if I want to pay down, it's going to be Irv Smith.
Maddie.
No, I'm on the same exact guys that Kev's on. Kittle, Waller, Kelsey if I'm playing Mahomes. Otherwise, it's Jonnu at 41 and Irv Smith at 3K. I will say Irv Smith is second on the team in red zone targets behind Thielen. The issue is the Vikings are just not throwing the ball when they get down there. They have 42 red zone rush attempts and 21 pass attempts. So he's got four, which is second behind Thielen, who has nine, and ahead of Jefferson, who has three. So Irv Smith, you know, hasn't been used in the touchdown department, but it could be coming.
Trey Burton at all, 3,500.
But, I mean, what's going to happen? Is Mo Alie-Cox back? Is, you know, like, are they going to have all these other, all these dudes? You know, like,
he's, yeah,
I mean, Mo Alie-Cox is questionable. He got limited, in a limited practice on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I hear you. Even I will say though, Kev, when he started to see kind of his target share not get to where it was the last week before the bye, but before that, he started seeing it creep up with Alie-Cox being out there. So I mean, there is something to be said there that they do have, you know, the coach, the tight end guy, Frank Reich there, who is wanting to run 12 personnel, and that Trey Burton could still see the field. I mean, you know, you got T.Y. Hilton out there and guys like Marcus Johnson and Zach Pascal, like Trey Burton's kind of carved himself a little role there in what is a lackluster receiving corpse. So
I'd rather play Jonnu for 600 more. I mean, you look first thing you see when you pull up Trey Burton's game log is that he played Cincinnati and scored 22 DK points. And then you realize that the Browns last week, when both of their tight ends went nuclear between Bryant and Joku, they played Cincinnati. So it's such a good Jonnu spot. Man, I have a hard time not paying 4,100 for him.
Yeah, I hear you there. Let's, 4,100 just too way
too cheap.
You can eat the chalk at the tight end position. That's been one of the ugliest, you know, all year. If you're just looking for double digit production to get there, just go Jonnu. Let's go into defense before we get to our build. And guys, I really want to hear your takes on defense because it's just wild what we got this week. I mean, the Chiefs are 4,500 at the top. I think even cheaper than what the Bills were last week, if I'm not mistaken, or whatever that was. They faced the Jets. They were 47. The Chiefs, what they just did in Denver was absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't believe what I was watching for the afternoon games, but 4,500 it doesn't make you feel comfortable. I mean, there's just so many ways where it just can't go wrong. And everything went right for the Chiefs. Two defensive and special teams touchdowns last week. That's how they were able to get there. Chargers at 4K right behind them going against Denver. I mean, the same type of thing there that you're getting from the Chargers. They didn't have the success against Jacksonville, but teams against Denver have had success and Drew Lock hasn't looked good. So that's why they're priced up. But I mean, for me, I'm looking at, where is the team here? So we got, I mean, I'm trying to pay down where I can. And so like with the Browns situation there, it's crazy how they're not like really getting pressure. And Myles Garrett is banged up a little bit, but you have to like what they could do possibly in this game if weather's permitting at 2,600, like I can definitely get behind that. I mean, 2,400 against the Rams too. I have some exposure there. You know, the Miami defense has kind of been, you know, putting together some games here, double digit sacks and four straight games, you know, an interception, which you can't predict interceptions, but they've actually been making plays. And like, You know, you're seeing the Jets. Okay, they put up 15, but, you know, put up 12 against San Fran. They put up 12 against Jacksonville. The Chargers couldn't do that, and they're priced at 4K this week. You know, if they can just get me a decent score there, I'll feel comfortable with them. And I outside of that, like, I just really don't know what I'm getting to. I guess I'll just have to let the Bills dictate themselves to me and just show me what I have for defense because unless we're getting up to the 3K or maybe 3K Titans, I could get behind there. It's going against Joe Burrow. He's a rookie quarterback. We have seen him put up big scores, but he has made mistakes too. So I could see myself talking myself into some teams there. But outside of that, like, I really just want to pay down to save the salary. Maddie, what say you for defense?
Yeah, I like the Dolphins and the Browns calls. Browns, I got on to my radar after I nuked my builds due to the 25 to 40 mile an hour winds. Cause I had Derek Carr originally, but I like the Browns defense side of that, playing at home. in that nasty wind game. Dolphins, like you mentioned, Dolphins defense has actually been pretty good this year, aside from defending the run. So I absolutely don't mind them at all at 2,400 either. And I always say that my approach is to fill defense last, which you kind of were just alluding to yourself. I will even play the Jets at 2K if I have to. It's one of those weeks, man, where you need all the salary you can get at the position players. And I'm not paying 4K for a defense.
I have to do something on my bill to not get Jets D.
I feel you. But if it's like a build that I love where it's like a game stack and the perfect one-offs, if I have to, I'll punt. But yeah, if I had to choose down there, Dolphins and Browns.
Yeah, and I
make this easy.
Go ahead, Kev.
I was just saying, I make it easy to say so we can get to this lineup. I like the Lions at $2,500. Against the Philip Rivers led Colts.
They're fine.
$2,500. And then the other one I like is the Saints at $3,400. If I can figure out a way to pay up a little bit, I do think the Saints against Chicago, Nick Foles is a fucking bum. He's no better than fucking Mitch Trubisky. I'm done with that dude. At least Mitch Trubisky's athletic and not a statue back there. But I think he's going to get sacked quite a bit. That offensive line has troubles. And I think you can expect probably a couple of turnovers as well from that offense. So I think if I can get up to the Saints at 3,400, that's where I'll go. But if I cannot, I will go with the $2,500 Lions.
One last thing, since we're talking about defenses, it does sound like Mike Hilton's going to be out for Pittsburgh. So that's another boost to Hollywood.
Like, yeah, definitely like that. I mean, Hollywood gonna hit this week. I feel like Hollywood gonna shine. Kev, the Detroit defense has actually been pretty good at coverage this year. I mean, that's kind of what their linebackers do well. The run is just where they can get gashed, and that's what Indy wants to do. I know you were talking about Jonathan Taylor. So, there is a path for them to kind of not hit, but if you think that – I mean, I was just talking with Maddie – when we started the show, like, I just don't know how that game is at 50 point total right now.
It's not, it shouldn't be. That game is going to be so slow
and just so ugly. So I just wanted to say, by talking about the Lions there, Kev, like, they could definitely pay off on that 2,500. I feel like
even last week,
nobody will be on them.
Detroit and Atlanta last week combined for what? 30 points. Something like that.
And what should have been a nuts spot, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Atlanta plays fast, awful pass D, whereas Detroit and Indy, you attack them on the ground. So,
all right, fun stuff. All right, let's get to this DraftKings build, guys. Week 8 DraftKings build. We've been playing this in the $5 single entry huddle there on DraftKings. I will be able to tweet out the roster there that we come up with on the DGEN Nation Pod Twitter handle. We will get that up so you guys can see that probably on Saturday. And as always, you know, we're just following along with the news. If there is any situation that we need to pay attention to on Sunday morning or anything like that, we will change it. We will tweet out the new team so you guys are looking at that. But guys, let's get into this week 8 build here. Build it up. It's a crazy week, so I can't wait to see what this build is going to bring us. Kev, why don't you go ahead and start it off?
Derek Carr.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding.
I knew it was coming.
I'm going to go. I could talk about quarterbacks, but I'm going to go Jimmy G.
Kendrick Bourne.
Son of a bitch. I knew I should have went somebody else.
Kendrick Bourne it is.
Sorry, Ryan. I didn't know if you were going to give yourself second choice, but I just kind of lapped you there.
No, you're good. You're good. Let's just go Kareem Hunt so we get exposure to that game. I'm fine with playing up front.
All right, I'm going to lock in Kittle.
So, Dalvin Cook.
I like it. I was going to do that, Matty, if you didn't. So, I like it. Let's see. We got Jimmy G, Kareem Hunt, Dalvin Cook, Kendrick Bourne, George Kittle, 49, 25 is what we got per player. I mean, Higgins fits in there, right, Kev, doesn't he? Oh, man, I love it. Let's see. I really should have planned better on here. 1-6K guy. I'm gonna put Brown in for now just because I know I want somebody in that range, but I'll play around with it a little bit. So Brown's in there for now, Kev. Just know that there's going to be 500 somewhere, give or take there. We got wide receiver flex, defense left.
DK Metcalf.
Man, you did not leave much wiggle room there.
Jeez, Lou. All right, so Jimmy G, Kareem Hunt, Dalvin Cook, Kendrick Bourne, Marquise Brown, DK Metcalf, George Kittle.
No, he's right. You've got to play. I actually see something. Sorry, Ryan. Jonnu Smith in the flex.
Stop. I'm going to have to take out Brown now. Definitely not doing that. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jets D, this asshole. All right, so I'm going to take out Brown, and I'm going to have to make you think about this this Jonnu Smith play, because I'm going to put in Valdes-Scantling instead.
Okay, then I am not going to put in Jonnu. It's our boy, Daryl Henderson. You got 2,500.
Lions?
Lions D?
Lions or Dolphins, one of those two. I don't care.
Lions, Kev? It's on you.
Yeah, let's go Lions.
Jimmy G, Kareem Hunt, Dalvin Cook, Kendrick Bourne, Valdes-Scantling, DK Metcalf, George Kittle, Daryl Henderson, Lions D, no remaining salary. Lock in the team. Oh, my goodness. What a team that is. Lock in the team. Lock in the podcast. That's going to do it here for the DGen Nation podcast, the Week 8 NFL DFS breakdown. Appreciate everybody who's been rocking with us all year. We're at the halfway point in the season. It's crazy to think about, but, I mean, hey, we're going to be grinding out for all the rest of the season going into playoffs. It's been a fun ride there. Episode 86 is in the books. Woo! Look at the fantasy channels at the bottom. If you're watching with us, make sure you're subscribed to the Fantasy Authority channels there on Twitter, YouTube, the website, fantasyauthority.com. We got Instagram popping off there. Shout out to Cody Kutzer, who's been doing all the work there for the Instagram. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, Periscope, Twitch, make sure you guys are liking and subscribing the content on your podcast software, is liking and subscribing, rating the pod. That's all fun, all good stuff. We appreciate you, fellas. We're going to be back. And fellas and ladies, we're going to be back next week, week 9, for, again, the DFS breakdown on DraftKings and equivalent. Signing off for Kev Steele, the Godfather, at FantasyRat13 is where you can find him on Twitter. Maddie Dickinson, Maddie Moneybags, Maddie DFS is where you can find him on Twitter. And myself, your host, Ryan Williams, at RyanAlexander_W. We'll catch you guys next time. Get that money. Until then, peace.
Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to?